future.
There are no people.
There are no people in the future.
No people at all.
There are no people in the future.
Where did all my people go?
There are no people in the future.
Let me try my people call.
Hey, everybody, everybody. Welcome, welcome. It is Monday, October 11th, 2021. Happy Indigenous Peoples Day, everybody. What a day to be here. What a day to be ready for the fight ahead of us, I guess, you know? Welcome to Raging Chickens, Out to Coop Live. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken. On Out to Coop Live, we talk to progressives, activists, and troublemakers of all sorts, right from our own backyards and from across the country. On Friday, Sean Kitchen and I break down the good, the bad, and the ugly in state and national politics. And you can check out the Wednesday show with Cyril Mikulenko. Yes, you know it. You love it. Gotta love Cyril's thing. Cyril's a progressive columnist for the Bucks County Courier-Times and Intelligencer. And he usually joins me, usually every Wednesday, every other Wednesday, usually when he drops a column. And he joins me to drill down into Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and international politics. You can get all our shows by subscribing to our podcast on Podbeans, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And you can support this show. Yep, you can do it right now. You don't need to wait, right? Support this show by becoming a patron for as little as $5 a month. Just go to patreon.com/rcpress. And you can help out the show right now by heading over to our YouTube channel if you're not there already. Smash that subscribe button, like the stream for the show, and hit that notification bell so you know every time we go live. We're also broadcasting live on Riverside.fm. You can join us on Riverside.fm and call in during the second half of the show. Info for that is in the show notes on our YouTube channel as we go live. Details for how to do it? Yep, just wait. I'll explain it to you a little bit later. Don't worry about it. You can also join our Discord server, right? Info on that is also in the show notes. Please check out that. You can continue the conversation all week long. And for more PA Progressive Talk, you can tune in to Rick Smith Show's live stream at 9 p.m. Eastern on his YouTube channel, Twitter, Facebook, you know, wherever you get your streams. Basically, the guy is streaming wherever you get your streams. And look, head on over to thericksmithshow.com. You'll figure out where you can subscribe to his podcast and check out all his shows. The guy's on WBAI now. He's on KPFK in Los Angeles. Rick, man, he's been in the trenches for a long time, and now he's going national. It's absolutely fantastic. And you absolutely have to check out the Sisters of the Night Caucus podcast. The amazing PA women stirring the political cauldron behind this podcast rock the house. And they know where the bodies are buried. Spooky season. Make sure to follow them on Twitter at The Night Caucus and subscribe to their podcast on Anchor, Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcast. And attention to gamers. Yep. You a gamer? Got a kid who's a gamer? Head on over to the Game Inn. That's the Game Inn with two N's, and it's a Quakertown-based black family-owned gaming store. They're friends of the show, and they've got everything from retro N64s, the latest consoles, video games for all platforms, collectibles, action figures, Funko Pops, you name it. And look, now that school's back in session, you should know, for every A they get on the report card, your kid gets a discount. Go on over and check out the Game Inn. Follow them on Twitter at the Game Inn with two N's. That's at the Game Inn on Twitter. If you've got a question about something you're trying to find out, it's hard to find, shoot them an email at thegameinnpa@gmail.com. And a special shout out goes to Jonathan Mann, who, as usual, got to give a shout out to Jonathan. He wrote our intro song, There Are No People in the Future. Check out all his great stuff on his YouTube page and follow him on Twitter at Song of Day Man. That's at Song of Day Man on Twitter. Well, tonight we've got a very special show for everybody. Tonight I welcome Jamie Davis and Cindy Shane to the show. Davis and Shane are candidates for the Palisades School District, the school board there. And the Palisades School District has become a hotbed of controversy as the right-wing extremism that has reared its ugly head throughout Bucks County has infected this district as well. You all know our discussion of what's happening here in Pennridge. Well, it's not just Pennridge. As you know, what's happening in Central Bucks, what's happening in the Palisades, what's happening in North Penn, it's happening all throughout the county. Well, it's infected this district and Palisades as well. We'll get into those controversies and why it's essential that we make sure that we help elect Jamie Davis and Cindy Shane. Now, Jamie Davis was born in the South Bronx, New York City, and raised in suburban New Jersey. She was adopted at a young age by amazing parents, both who were educators. And Jamie has worked with children of all ages as a caregiver and teacher for 13 years. And recently she changed careers, and now she enjoys working with people in a corporate environment. She's passionate about being a positive role model and advocate in her community, and she's also the proud parent of a Palisades Pirate. And Cindy Shane holds a master's degree in education from Lehigh University. She has spent the last 25 years as an educator, mostly teaching in private schools, and currently works for a charter school outside of Allentown. Her son is a 2020 graduate of Palisades and currently attends Northampton Community College. Now, during the live show at the end of the show, too, as well, you'll be able to call in with any kind of comments you may have. But right now, we're just going to kind of get into the thick of it because, you know, we cannot wait any longer to meet these awesome women. So welcome to the show, Jamie. Welcome to the show, Cindy.
Thank you.
So, you know, I thought that, you know, for those folks, if you, as I said in my intro, who've been listening to this show for a while, have been familiar, very kind of intimately familiar, what's been happening in the Penridge School District. And Penridge has kind of, you know, made a little national name for itself as kind of being a hotbed of kind of, I don't know, insanity, if you ask me. But so people are familiar there. But for those folks who may not be as familiar with, say, what's going on at Palisades, right, or who have yet had the opportunity to hear it kind of directly from you, let's just take some time to kind of, you know, to kind of introduce yourselves to the community and kind of, you know, talk us a little bit about why you got involved. So, Jamie, let me turn to you first. Like, so, you know, if you think about why you stepped up this year of all years, right? I mean, as the craziness seems to be at a high level now, kind of what made you decide to step up and run for school board this year?
So the main reason why was, so last year, actually, no, it was probably going around a year and a half now. I did a Black Lives Matter Unity March in our small quiet town of Riegelsville. And it was a huge hit. We had a huge turnout.
I remember that actually.
Yeah. It was big. I was very proud of our area. Afterwards, I received a lot of feedback. A lot of it was positive feedback. Some of it was negative. But most of it was positive. And I was, I had a huge reach out of parents whose kids were in the district, and they were proud and they were honored to be at the rally. But a lot of them were telling me about how their kids were being bullied. There were numerous parents who had to pull their children out of the school district. And me, I graduated high school 15, 16 years ago. So I know about bullying and all that, but I didn't realize how big of an issue it was here at Palisades. So talking with them, and then it went into a lot of racism issues, especially at the middle school and high school. But it just opened up the doors to people coming to me, telling me everything that was going on. So then I had a couple of people ask me, hey, you know, you're a huge activist here in Riegelsville. You had a huge turnout. Would you be interested in running for school board? I was like, what's that? What do I do? I'm down. And so then I realized what it was. I had gone to probably one school board meeting before that. And so I figured, you know what? I like a challenge. I'm willing to do it. I'm very involved in my son's school, at his elementary school. I love going in there. I love bothering the secretaries, the principal, hanging out and stuff like that. And I love being a mystery reader. So I was like, if I can do something like this and advocate for the kids, then absolutely I want to do it. But yeah, so overall, it was just being involved in the community. I love being involved in the community. If this is just one more thing I could put on my list, then bring it. I'm down.
Well, there you go. You know, and it's funny you should say that too about school board. What's that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I do think, you know, what's wild is that, you know, I think so many folks who are even, you know, even really tapped into what's happening in, say, national, even statewide politics, mm-hmm. we know so little about what's happening, like, at our school boards and our local communities half the time.
Yeah.
And it can be kind of like, you know, a mystery box as to how you actually even find out about what's going on.
Exactly. Exactly. And a big thing that I'm learning now is obviously how political it is. I didn't think it was this political until now that I'm in it. And, but yeah, it's interesting. It's fun. It's a fun ride.
There you go. So Cindy, how about you? Now you've been an educator for a long time. And now if I recall correctly, you also have worked with special needs kids. Is that correct?
Yeah. I'm currently a paraprofessional at the school that I work at.
Yeah. So what got you to step up? I mean, you know, cause I mean, you know, everyone's, you know, pretty busy from what I talk to people, you know, but to kind of take up this challenge too, as well, why now?
So, you know, with everything that was going on last year, I really noticed that there was kind of a gap in communication. I felt like, you know, constituents weren't always receiving responses. And so it wasn't a huge concern. I had no idea. This race is nothing like what I thought I was getting into. Nothing. it's really not. I was like, oh, you know, communicate. And so I was sort of toying with the idea. I'd had friends who'd been talking to me for a long time and saying, you really should do this. You'd be so good at it. And whatever. So, you know, similar to Jamie, I had people talking to me a little bit, and I was hearing a little bit of the bullying stuff. I was hearing a lot of people who had left the district because they felt like their kids weren't getting what they needed, and so were going to charter schools. And, you know, it was just kind of all of this stuff. And I guess ultimately, when I was like, okay, I have to decide today, because it was, you know, fish or cut bait.
Right.
If I'm going to complain about it and say I'm not happy, then it's not right for me to not try to do something. You know, I knew this was something that I could do. I knew it was something that I would be good at. And so I jumped in.
Where you have it. Now, you know, it's funny you should say, you know, well, how would I put this? Let me see. When you say that, I'm just going to ask you the question, right? So you said this was not the kind of race that you thought you were going to get into, not at all.
Yeah.
Can you unpack that for us a little bit?
I thought we were going to be talking about local things. I thought we were going to be talking about how do we make things better for our kids. I thought we were going to be talking about what are the ways that we can improve communication between, you know, the board and constituents and make sure that everybody really feels involved. And so those are the kind of conversations that I thought we were going to be having. How do we hold the line on taxes? You know, where do we not spend our money? And I think that those actually are the conversations that we should be having. But instead, we've sort of had this outside, you know, energy, I don't know what you even want to call it, coming into the district. And so we're talking about, you know, there's these violent school board meetings where people are screaming at the school board for following the law. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people are, it just, all this like CRT stuff, which is not in our, you know, that's not a thing, but we, it's... I just had no idea that this is what I was going to be talking about. Like, you know, it's just not what I expected. It's okay, but it's not what I expected. And honestly, it's not really what I want to be doing, because I want to be talking about things that matter. I want to be talking about our kids and how do we help kids that are getting bullied, you know, and how do we improve our cyber programs? And those are the conversations I really want to be having.
Yeah. Well, it seems like, go ahead, Jamie. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to go off of what Cindy was saying, how we're talking about things that are a national issue, and I feel like we're forgetting things that are actually going on in our school district. And I feel like there are a lot of parents who go to the board meetings who yell and yell profanities and things like that. They could be using that energy in a different way to get stuff done, and we could come together as a community and work on these things that need to get done. But I just feel like a lot of it is national fear-mongering, and I get it, don't get me wrong, I love a good protest, you stand up for your kids, I'm all for it, but there could be a better way of doing it.
Well, and I think that when most people who are not like in the weeds of everything that's happening politically, you know, both at the national and behind the scenes and all this stuff, when most people think about the school boards, it's the kind of things that Cindy, you were laying out, you know, basically saying, look, we're here to try to do the best by our kids. And at the same time, recognize we have like a fiduciary responsibility to the community when it comes to making sure, you know, about how our tax dollars are spent. And then, you know, what kind of programs are going to be best? How do we make sure every kid's need is served? All those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And I think there's this, you know, it represents, or I don't know, it presents a certain kind of challenge, I would suppose, to be running for school board when you want to be talking about those things, but having to respond to, you know, some really well-funded national propaganda campaigns that have gotten people really, you know, fired up around stuff that's not even happening. I mean, can you take us in? I mean, I don't know who wants to take this up. Can you just take us into some of those school board meetings when you say that have kind of really started to go off the rails a little bit so people understand what's happening in Palisades?
Can I jump in for 1 second? Because there's one.
Please, go for it, please.
No, it just occurred to me, like I sort of stopped talking and then it occurred to me that one of the things that I also didn't expect is I didn't expect this race to be so important. Right. And that's part of this conversation is,
right,
you know, I thought, I mean, to be brutally honest, I thought I was going to be running unopposed. I was a little surprised that Dr. Ott was going to run again.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
But even then, I was like, you know, okay, I mean, win or lose, like, does it matter? Sure, it matters. But, like, I just didn't feel like it was going to be this high-stakes thing. And, you know, what we're seeing now is we're seeing conversations about things like banning books and just conversations that I never, ever expected to be having in this country in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. And those...
And this
those,
generation.
I didn't hear... And this generation, exactly. Yeah. It's... And so it's really frightening. Like, it's frightening to me that we could possibly be taking an entire school district of children and setting them up to not be prepared to go out in the world, to not be prepared exactly. to go into a world where they're going to meet people who are different than them, because mm-hmm. that's the world. Mm-hmm. And you're going to meet people who look different, who have different belief systems, and we're going to leave them unprepared. And so now I feel like this, I feel like this race is a lot more important than I ever thought it was going to be.
Absolutely.
So I just wanted to say that.
Is that your sense of things too, Jamie?
Yes, it is. And like, I always want to ask some of the parents, like, who want to get rid of these certain books, who want to get rid of certain subjects and such. I want to ask them from their point of view, what would you tell your child when they get sent off to college? And let's say they want to go to college in Philadelphia, or they want to go to college where there is a huge, diverse, what am I trying to say? Population, class, or whatever.
Yeah.
But I want to know what are they going to tell their kid when they come home from Thanksgiving break and they say that they met all these different types of people? Why wasn't that taught in my school district or something like that? And they had a role in taking that away from them. I want to know what are you going to say to your child to that? Like, that's the stuff that goes through my mind that I don't know what to say. I'm just speechless.
No, and I've seen some of those conversations when those parents have actually been asked those things. Mm-hmm. And it's just they divert the conversation, right? To yes. get back to what's happening. We have to protect this. We have to protect American values. Mm-hmm. We have to do all that. And it really is just these kind of talking points to say we want to prepare our kids for the 1950s.
Yes.
Right? And 1950s, by the way, in white America.
Yes.
Right? Because,
exactly.
you know,
exactly.
like I don't see classes being there like how to avoid lynching, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's not what they
yes.
want. Right. So it's like it's this kind of like leave it to Beaver mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it really dangerous. And I, you know, a lot of what was happening even at the and I don't want to go too far kind of off, you know, off down this trail here. But mm-hmm. just what's happened at the national level in terms of education and trying to push kids towards, you know, this private kind of education where they're only going to be exposed to other people that are just like them
mm-hmm.
is part of the agenda that we saw from Betsy DeVos at the national level, is part of what we saw in terms of these privatization programs. And they're extraordinarily well funded
mm-hmm.
and they've been pushing in that direction for a long time. And it seems to me that this is both part of that process,
mm-hmm.
right, to kind of go right after this whole idea about public education for a broad-based citizenship, and I'd like lowercase c and the citizen there, and people who are part of our community, and to educating them for the world as it is, mm-hmm. right, not some sort of kind of like, you know, fantastical imagination about way it was way back when.
Yeah. And going back to what are they going to teach their children, so
mm-hmm.
I understand every family is different, because there are things that I teach Logan in our family that a white person would not teach their child, from not putting your hands in your pockets to when you go into stores and stuff like that. So I understand people teach their kids different things, but I feel like this is stuff that they want to take away from our curriculum and things like that, that they need to go out into the world.
Exactly.
This is a perfect example of saying, like, you just say those things that you teach your kid, right? Not to put your hands in your pocket, mm-hmm. because we know we've got systemic racism
yeah.
here, and what that means
mm-hmm.
for a black boy is something very different than it means for a white boy
yes.
to walk into a store.
Mm-hmm.
And to actually to have, like, say, like a piece of literature discussed in a classroom in which that's an actual experience, that's an opportunity for understanding.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
It's an
yes.
opportunity for that white kid. Because, look, you know, I've seen, you know, my own kids go through the school system, and, you know, I think most kids are this case. They're not aware of all the experiences of other kids that are out there. My sister is like, she's got a mental disability, right? As a result of a MMR shot that went awry when we were young. But, you know, and so I've seen what it's meant for, you know, her to be in a context in which other kids are kind of like asked to engage, right? Yeah. And she's not just shuffled off into some sort of room, right? As some sort of aberrations in our community.
Exactly.
And that's what seems to be at stake. Yeah. Sorry.
It is what's at stake.
And also with that, I relate to that so much because growing up, I have a learning disability. So growing up, I was in the small, teeny tiny special ed classes. And when I got to high school, I was able to go into a bigger class with in-class support. And I was like, this is amazing. So I go off of that feeling. And I feel like every child, they shouldn't be put into a smaller classroom and put in the back of the school. Like, I'm not saying that that's what we do, but no child should feel like they're different in a negative way, is what I'm trying to say. Does that make sense?
I agree with you, Jamie. And I think that that's one of the things. So Palisades has really, for a long time, really tried to be inclusive and create an inclusive environment.
Yeah.
Like, there is a very conscious effort put into including, you know, children who have different abilities into the full life of the school and having them be active members of the community. And it's one of the things that I think we should be most proud of. I mean, I think that we do a really good job of it. Mm-hmm. And so when you're when these people are talking about we need to get rid of diversity and equity and inclusion, I think that there's a real lack of awareness about who that's going to impact, because it will impact children who are in this district right now. Mm-hmm. Right now in real time, not just the impact it's going to have when they leave for college, but, you know, every kid needs to be able to see themselves in their school.
Yes. And I feel like when they say they want to take away that, they're not realizing, I'm just going off of what Cindy said, they're not realizing they're taking away extra time for a child for a test.
Right.
They're taking away, my mind just went blank. They're taking away different things, but it's not all about just the black and the white stuff.
It's not. And I don't think that their intention is to take things away from special ed kids.
Yeah.
But the reality is that that is a large part of who would be impacted by this.
Yeah. But I also think they need to do a little bit more research.
Agreed.
But, you know.
Well, the problem is, right, you know, as we've seen COVID has exploded over here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I saw this come up as a Halloween decoration. I had to show my wife. I'm like, look, just want to be clear. I'm not advocating we put this on our front lawn. Right. But, right, you know, it's a tombstone that says I did my own research. Right.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And so, I mean, but that's part of the problem. Right. I mean, we're talking about, and this is like, I'm an educator, too. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I teach at Kutztown University, and critical thinking is kind of one of the absolute, you know, things is square one. Right. Mm-hmm. And if doing research means that you're going down these rabbit holes of like for Cora Landis, for example, you're running against who's like a QAnon supporter. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, you know, at the end, Cyril Mikulenko's got a great piece on this back in September 29th in his column. He published this, yes, I am a Q follower with their own tweets. Mm-hmm. And these people have, quote unquote, done their own research. But it's the kind of research that is leading us and our whole nation really in a really problematic direction. So how, I mean, maybe there's not an easy answer to this, and I don't think there's an easy answer to this. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I've looked at both of your platforms. I've seen the kind of things that you both want to have attention to, and everything seems to be squarely grounded in making sure that the kids of Palisades, right, are getting the absolute best education they can, and is preparing from the challenges that they're going to face down the road.
Yes.
Right. So, how has it been, kind of running in this environment when? Not only does it seem like, you know, you're trying to get people to focus on, you know, things like bullying. I know that both of you have talked about bullying and how this has become has been a real issue, a concern of parents in Palisades. Mm-hmm. How do you have that conversation, like, in the midst of this other kind of like noise about kind of like, you know, like QAnon or taking away, destroying America through DEI conspiracies and all this other kind of nonsense?
Cindy, you can answer that one.
So I think that most people in our community want to be talking about bullying. I think that you have this like really loud, small faction of people who wants to scream and yell and has, you know, gone down the rabbit hole, done their own research, whatever you want to call it. But they're sort of over here. They're loud. I mean, these are the people that made us shut down our school board meetings.
Right.
I think
just like what was that last week, right? Last week or, what, or was it 2 weeks ago?
It was 2 weeks, 2.5, yeah. Maybe three weeks ago.
Maybe three weeks ago.
No, it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No, we had last week we had a virtual school meeting, which was great. Mm-hmm. But I think that most of the people in our community want to talk about the issues that impact their kids, you know, and they hear this noise. And so I definitely have had people say to me, like, what do you know about this? Like, what is CRT? One of those people was Jamie Davis.
Yeah.
We were both sort of like, what are you talking about?
And it's right? interesting, though, because I didn't know what it was. I even asked my mom, who's a college professor. I was like, what is CRT? And she's like, I don't know. Then I went and I asked my dad, who's a school principal, what is CRT? I don't know. I've been asked that numerous times, and I've come to the conclusion it's something that is not being taught in Palisades, and that is my final answer on that. It's not here in Palisades. And
No, I mean, I look at like just that is that perfect example. I mean, I actually remember when I was in college and I was studying some of this stuff, I came across CRT, right? Because it was, you know, in law schools, not that I'm a lawyer, but it was in law schools as a way of trying to understanding, right? Basically, okay, look, we've had the civil rights movement, right? We've passed the Voting Rights Act. We've done all these legal things, which are opening up the franchise. And yet we have this persistence of systemic discrimination. How do we go about understanding that and the way that it kind of like is impacted and is embedded in our legal codes? Mm-hmm. And that was Derek Bell's work. That's where it kind of started. But I think it's something that is gripped on by the right because it sounds like scary if you don't know what it is, right? And it's got race in the title, so they can whip up the base.
Yes.
But again, I don't want to kind of take us down that rabbit hole.
That's true.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely true.
I can't think who it is. There's some right wing guy that actually said, you know, my goal is to have CRT. This is going to be what everything gets blamed on is CRT. Yeah. Everything is going to be brought back to this. So it's a plan. It's a plan and a strategy to disrupt our country.
Yes.
Right. Absolutely. So, okay. So let's go back to this then. So if we think about like the issues that you all have tried to focus on, and when you're sitting and you're talking with like parents or people in the community to try to get them out to vote, I mean, what are some of the things that you're focusing on and you see as some of the kind of central needs in Palisades that, you know, that you're kind of frontlining your campaigns? Cindy, why don't we start with you?
Did you say Cindy or me?
No, you can start with Jamie.
Jamie. Okay.
So one of another things that, a big thing that I've talked about, and I'm part of the youth football family, because my son plays. A big thing that a lot of parents have told me about was communication. Communication with teachers, communications with school board members, communication just throughout the community. And that was also one of the things I didn't mention before, but that was also another reason why I wanted to run, because me personally as a parent, I've emailed people, I've tried to call, and there just wasn't that communication line there. And then it went to people just talking on Facebook or Twitter or anything like that, and they're expressing their concerns there. So that's something that I tell parents is that I want to try and fix that. It's not going to be fixed overnight, but I want to try and be that person, because I noticed I'm not trying to sound conceited, but I am fabulous. But but I noticed I am that type of person that people come to when they have an issue, because I just sit and I listen. And I feel like me being on the board, that would be something different, I guess, because I can't think of someone on the board now that is that open, that wants to talk to parents, I guess. I don't know. I feel like I'm just blabbering here. But yeah, communication is something that's huge. And that's something that I tell parents is, you know, we need to fix our communication issue here and not go on Facebook and bash the school.
Absolutely. Look, you got some of the most kind of frustrating kind of occurrences can happen when you're trying to contact someone from the school board to find out about something that's going on. You get nothing in response.
Yes.
Right. Or you get some kind of like random form letter about something that you didn't even ask about.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, Cindy, how about you? When you're out there talking to folks, what are you talking about?
What are we talking about? Well, we're talking about the same things that Jamie's talking about. I mean, we were talking about communication. We're talking about really, you know, Palisades has a lot of really good programs already in place. You know, we've started some anti-bullying stuff. I really want to see that expanded. My own personal, like, dream would be for us to have a comprehensive, you know, social emotional program throughout the district. Because one of the things that I know about bullying is that once it's there, it's really, really hard to stop. And so I want to be clear that I think that the administrators that are in place right now are trying really hard. You know, the teachers and administrators are doing their very best, but once it's there, it's really hard to stop it. The way to stop it is to create a culture where it's not acceptable. And the way that you do that is by teaching kids how to handle emotions and how to handle, you know, hard conversations and how to say to someone, I don't like what you're doing, in a way that is healthy for everyone.
Let me ask you this about the bullying. I'm just curious about this. And I've heard this also from some parents from Palisades who I, you know, talked to, corresponded with, and they bring up bullying too as well. Now, do you have an idea about why this is happening in Palisades so much? I mean, is it specifically like across the board? Is it happening to particular groups of people the bullying is taking place, or does it seem to be, like you're saying, kind of strictly kind of like a cultural, like kind of a culture of bullying or something like this that seems to be emerging in the school district?
Well, one of the things that I've noticed is that because I've gotten this answer from teachers, because my son had a couple of issues, was, well, it wasn't seen, so we can't do anything about it. Even though numerous students have said, this person's bothering me every day, this person's bothering me, this person's bothering me. Well, we're not seeing it, so we can't do anything really about it. Dial this number and put in a request and say that you're being bullied or something like that. But that is the number one thing that I have personally been hearing is, administration is just saying, well, we're not seeing anything. We haven't seen it. We haven't seen it.
And the nature of bullying is that you're not going to see it, right?
Right. Exactly.
Exactly. But yeah, but that's just what I have heard from parents and what I have seen personally.
Well, you know, I've got to say, I've been very lucky. We've been very lucky with our elementary school that we have with our kids through. And I think I have a really good sense of what it looks like to be in a culture that is like anti-bullying, right?
Yeah.
And the principal of that school, I've watched, like, just doing absolutely amazing things.
Yes.
Like, you know, foregrounds things, puts them kind of, you know, talks to kids early on. The teachers are all on board. It's programmatic. It's systemic, right? And then, you know, there was a couple instances in which, you know, this was not even like a bullying situation, but you could see that it could develop in such. And this happened as my son started getting involved with, you know, online gaming. And it was just his circle of friends, right? Just kind of learning about that exchange that can happen in an online environment. They were just saying things to each other as friends. It was really hurtful. And then it was starting to bleed over into school. And so I approached the principal about this. And what he did, he brought the kids all into his office together and talked with them.
Yeah.
Right? wasn't discipline. It wasn't this, but understood that this is kind of, you know, this could lead in negative directions. And all of those kids that were brought into that conversations are still good friends and are on the other side of that. You know, I mean, and so, I mean, I appreciate that so much. I can see it on this side because I could recognize, you know, especially I would imagine that it's in because Palisades is a pretty rural district, right? And I could see that even more difficult in some ways because you're spread out, right? And so parents are trying to solve problems. And if you're not kind of like right there in the community, that could be extra tough. So the school becomes one of those places that really can model, you know, ways of kind of engaging going forward.
Yeah. But like even with going back to communication, one of the things that I've realized is that, like, I've had parents come to me and say, hey, my son or my daughter came home from school. This person at the school is doing this. I know you know the parents. Can you contact them for me? I don't do that. I tell them, you need to contact the administration. Like, I can't be, like, the mediator in that. Like, if there's something going on at school, then you need to contact. And that's one of the other things that I've noticed. I'm sitting here thinking of conversations I've had with parents, and that was another one of them. A lot of people, they go from one parent to another parent to tell that parent to tell their kid to stop. Like, they don't bring it up into the school, and that's something that I feel is important that the school needs to be aware of, because then the kids will go to school, aren't adults there, and they just bully each other.
Well, I, you know, I say I can't tell you how, like, how important they got these kind of conversations can be, like, within the school district. And I really hope, I mean, this is one of the reasons I'm keeping, like, my fingers crossed. I want to encourage everybody who's kind of listens to this show, right, certainly, and anybody, and everybody who knows who's up there in Palisades, to get out there and try to help get Cindy Shane and Jamie Davis elected to these school board candidates. Because, you know, I think, Cindy, you put it right, is that the stakes seem to be extraordinarily high.
Yes.
Right.
For
now.
A local and school board election, they're very high.
Well, and it seems to me, it's like, you know, why my concern always comes in, as we know this, right, for school board elections and off-year elections, turnout tends to be, you know, the deciding factor. Yep. Like, who can get people out there, which is why it's so important. Listen, if you've got some extra time and you're out there, people are listening to this show right now. We're going to have information on how to get in touch with Jamie and Cindy after the show and say, hey, listen, how can I help out, right? That might mean kind of like providing, you know, it might even mean kind of donating some money, but it might mean just kind of going knocking on some doors, mm-hmm. right, calling some people to make sure that they're getting out there. Because it seems to me that, you know, Palisades, I think, is one of these school districts, right, that if it goes the wrong way, it's going to have a negative impact for, I mean, for years mm-hmm. to come. And, you know, it seems to me that, you know, we're doing our little spot here, right, you know, and Raging Chicken, to try to kind of see what we can do to try to, again, help amplify the work that you all are already doing on the line, all the volunteers that are part of your campaign that have are already out there knocking on doors and talking to people, because it, you know, I feel it viscerally, like, in Bucks County, if we don't contest every single one of these school board elections against the extremists that want to take our school boards in school districts in directions that are really harmful for kids over the long term, then we've got to kind of, you know, be there. I mean, I don't know. Do you think I'm overstating the case here?
I don't. Can I put a little plug out there? It is not late for people to request mail-in ballots. And that's, you know, that's one of the, I think that that's one of the things that we need to be saying to people is, hey, I get it. Sometimes it's hard to make it to the polls. Super important election. It takes 5 minutes on the computer to request that ballot. It, you know, you yes. need a driver's license and a computer. That's really all you need. And so anybody who's listening, I would encourage them to, you know, remind the people around you. It's not too late. Request that ballot if it's hard for you to make it to the polls. But your yes. vote's really important.
Yeah. Like, I'm having someone text me now saying that they got their mail-in ballot and they got their mail-in ballot in the mail and they just voted. It's so easy.
Yep. I'm getting mine. You know, we just got ours yesterday. Unfortunately, I can't vote for your district as well, but I know certainly in my district where the stakes are just as high, we're going to setting out those ballots too, to make sure we do this. And yes, and make sure, look, all you got to do, you can go to votepa.gov. You go to votepa.gov. All the information is right there. And listen, here's the heading that is on that website. When you go into, oh, it says voting by mail-in or absentee ballot is safe, secure, and easy, right? So go ahead. You can check out. It'll give you all the information about how to do this. We'll put a link in today's show notes. So if it's too late, but you got to do it quick, yeah. right? You got to do it then. So if you want the mail-in ballot, you got to do it quick. We know there's been issues about the Postal Service. Those questions are happening nationwide. So you want to get it and you want to mail it in ASAP. You don't want to wait. And if you miss that deadline, you want to make sure that you're going to head out to the polls and make sure that you're going to be there on election day. And look, I would encourage anyone within the sound of my voice to, like, you know, lend your kind of voice, right? Whether it's just voting, that's great, but tell a friend to tell a friend to tell their friends mm-hmm. to make sure that they're getting this out too as well. Show up on election day, see if you can volunteer at the polls, see if you can knock on doors to making sure that you get people out.
Yes. And your voice matters. Your voice matters. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So for folks who are kind of who tuned in tonight or going to listen to this on the podcast afterwards, you know, like, if you had to kind of leave them with kind of, say, one thought, right, what would that be, right? I mean, it doesn't have to be one thought, right? I don't want to kind of like that, like, for those, yeah, now, I know you all can't see me, but Cindy was just like, just one thought? You know, see, rolling eyes. What is it that I want to leave? Or let me just say, one piece of, like, kind of one thought you want to leave them with and how you would encourage them to kind of get involved at this point. So, Jamie, go ahead.
Let's see. My one thought is your child's life matters. Your child's education matters. I love when parents stand up for their kids, because I've seen parents that are not there for their children. And I think it's just a very powerful thing. And stand up for your babies. All babies matter. And vote November 2nd. It's important.
Yeah. Cindy. Yeah.
I had it and then I lost it. So my one thing is going to be, you know, we have a good thing here in Palisades. We really do. And we've been growing and doing better every year and just moving in the right direction. And if this election goes the wrong way, you really could, we could lose all of that. And the people who are going to suffer the most are going to be our children. And so, I mean, my message is vote, just vote. That's the most important thing.
Now, you know, I don't like to traffic in fear politics, but one of the things that I will say to everybody out there in Palisades listening tonight is that, you know, we've had several years of this now in the Pennridge School District, and already you're seeing the kind of the rankings of the school district drop. You've seen a drop in the U.S. News and World Report because of the craziness that is on the school board. And, you know, I can tell you this too as well. It is a heck of a lot harder to get rid of those folks once they're entrenched in your school board than it is just to make sure that the right people are on the job from day one. Mm-hmm. So get out there and make sure that you are going to be voting. If you're in the Palisades School District, voting for Cindy Shane and Jamie Davis on November 2nd, make sure that you go out and request that mail-in ballot. And if you miss the deadline, again, it's, you know, here it is again, votepa.gov, then /voting in PA/page goes on there. The link will be in the show notes, but votepa.gov. I'll give you information about how to register. And if you're not registered already, you know, you got to get on over there and find out kind of like where you need to be on election day, right? That's all I'm saying.
I don't want to say the 18th is a deadline, but that's what I have in my head. I might be wrong, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm just trying to look up right now.
Yeah. And if anyone has any questions, reach out to us. I'm always willing to help.
Yes, absolutely. So October 26th at 5 p.m., applications for mail-in or absentee ballots must be received by your county election board.
The last day to register is the 18th. So you've still got time. You have 7 days that you can still register if you're not registered yet.
That means that you register tomorrow, everybody, right?
Or tonight.
You do that tomorrow. Do not wait to the 8th. Do not wait any extra days. Well, I also want to encourage everybody, look, you want to find out how you can get involved, you can contact for Jamie Davis, davisforpalisades@gmail.com. And for Cindy, you can contact cindyforpalisades@gmail.com.
Shane.
Pretty simple,
Shane
pretty
for
straightforward. I'm sorry, Shane, okay. Shane, my bad. Shane, my bad. Shane, I'm, you know, talking too fast, which is my, you know, my downfall always. Shane for Palisades@gmail.com. Better yet, put them both in the subject line, right? And say, hey, I'm here for both y'all.
Yes.
And I'm going to get out there and help. Well, any closing thoughts you got before we call it a night?
No. Vote November 2nd.
There it is. Well, listen, you know, thank you. Cindy, Jamie, thank you so much for joining me tonight. And thank you for, look, I mean, even more so, thank you for stepping up and, you know, be willing to run for school board. I mean, run for school board and kind of getting the right people in the right places. Because, like I said, I mean, we know what it's like down here in Pennridge and what's happening across the state. Defend your school board, defend your kids' education, making sure that you get out there, you're going to vote on November 2nd. Make sure you're voting for Jamie Davis and Cindy Shane. Well, this is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken. Thank you, Cindy and Jamie,
for joining me tonight.
Thank you so much. Yes. It was nice meeting you.
And we will be pushing this out to everybody that we can, and we'll be lending our support in any ways that we can.
Thank you.
Wonderful. So, hey, everybody. So this is a note for anybody who's tuning in. So as you know, at this point, we're going to say goodbye to our guest. And if you do, you have any kind of ideas or thoughts, you know, not necessarily what we talked about tonight, but you want to join the conversation, there's information in tonight's show notes on our YouTube page about how to join us on riverside.fm for a call-in show, for a kind of afterwards, if you will. And I'll have some closing thoughts after this message. But for right now, what I want to say to you is get out there and vote. Like you've heard it here, get out there and vote November 2nd. Make sure you request that mail-in ballot. Make sure you're registered and you show up and defend our kids' education. Thank you, Cindy. Thank you, Jamie. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken. We're getting out of here. And oh, let's not forget that we're going to have this Friday, Sean and I will be right back for our weekly politics roundup. And next week, we'll have Jordan Hopkins on. We had to postpone his show from last week. Make sure he'll be on next week on Out to Coop Live. And he'll be talking about all of the funding mechanisms that have been funding this craziness in school boards across the country. So this is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken. Have a good night, everybody. We're getting out of here, getting ready for our talking show. See ya! Where are my people? Hey, everybody, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken, here for a, you know, little Alticoop Live afterward. So if anybody does have some comments, anybody has some calls you want to call in, there's information on how to do that in the show notes of tonight's YouTube stream. All you got to do is make sure if you do decide you want to call in, you've got something that kind of on your mind. You can also throw it in the YouTube chat if there's something that you want to address, something we think we should talk about before we call it a night. Just one thing I will ask you, if you do decide you want to join us on riverside.fm and you want to call in, make sure that you mute your YouTube volume. All you got to do is hit that little speaker on your YouTube channel and make sure that that cuts out and listen on riverside.fm. That'll prevent any feedback, that'll prevent any kind of issues with delay. Same kind of stuff you ever call on a radio show before. It's like that. So, boy, I'm so glad I talked to them tonight, I got to say. I don't know about you, but I've been wanting to talk to them for a while. I know what's been happening in Palisades has increasingly become more problematic. You know, I was rereading Cyril's piece from, what was that, September 29th. This is, you can check it out in those newsletters. It says, yes, I'm a Q follower down the rabbit hole with keeping kids in school pack Cora's like Cora Landis. Right? Because remember, one of the issues here is that Cora Landis, who is running for school board up there, right, has come right out and said that she's a QAnon follower, right? And that piece that he published on September 29th on his Substack, that's cyrilmikolenko.substack.com, right? Dude, just look him up. If you look up his name, Cyril Mikolenko, you know what? I'll put a link in tonight's show notes so that you've got it there, or a link in tonight's chat. Actually, I could do that right now. This is the nice thing about doing this, you know, this little afterwards can be a little bit more loosey-goosey about it. So I'm just going to copy. I'm just going to throw. There's the link for Cyril's Substack. Put that right in tonight's chat on YouTube. And I'll make sure that, you know, you can find him anywhere. But anyways, get way off here. But let's just run through a little bit of what Cora Landis has set up there. So this is a tweet from September 3rd, 2020. Says, just who is Q? If it is who some think it is, we have a huge and welcome surprise in store. Can't wait. I love going down the rabbit hole. Want to meet me there? Hey, Jamie. I got Jamie in the chat now. That's awesome. Right. Here's another one. This is from September 2nd. So this is the day before, like the who is Q comment. She says, this is okay, now this one is only for those who know this corona is a scam. Yes, I am a Q follower, as well as loads of other patriot prophecies. So here's the deal. Take off the masks. 5G is coming and coming fast. I've done a lot of research, and it's proven to be deadly to those with weak and compromised systems. Oxygen and deep breathing and lots of sunshine is what we need to withstand it. Why do you think the blue states are continuing the farce? They want you weak. They want you afraid. When you die from wearing the mask and not having enough oxygen in your blood, they will blame it on corona. And the scam continues. Call it a conspiracy theory, but believe it! I don't have to wear a mask very often, and I'm still having issues with my nasal passages. We need to wake up and stand against tyranny. We should all go into stores without masks, and when they demand you wear one, walk back out. Money always talks. I mean, that's like, that's off the rails. That is off the rails. This is the stuff that you hear about people talk about. Like you're kind of like that one crazy uncle that always comes to Thanksgiving or whatever like that you do. That they've been like up late at night listening to some AM talk radio show about stuff. And they start coming up with that kind of thing. This is coming from a person who is running for school board in the Palisades School District. And, you know, you dig into this, and you know, Cora Landis, she was, like, worked at Lehigh University for years, right? And in international programs and kind of, like, headed these, like, you know, small business association and stuff. And you're like, oh, my God. It's like, you know, I just can think of, like, you know, my kids' video games, right? Among Us, right? You know, Sus Among Us. It's like, holy moly. But this is the kind of stuff we're talking about. And, you know, and Scott Freeman, you know, I don't like to spend too much time when I'm actually talking to these school board candidates. I actually don't want to spend too much time talking about their opponents. So I want to, again, at least have some sort of affirmative space where they get to kind of lay out their case and lay out kind of like who they are as people, what their concerns are, how they're making sense of the situation and why they're running for school board. But, you know, when it comes right down to this guy, Scott Freeman, right, who's, also stepping up to run. I mean, we got to come on. This guy is, the school board, I go back and forth on this all the time. Do I actually want to kind of run into all this? But you have school board members who are dropping F-bombs at school board meetings. I've had parents contact me. It's like, you got to see what, you're not going to believe what happened, right? And you're like, really? Something is deeply wrong in our culture and in our politics when the kinds of considerations that are being brought before school boards are national conspiracy theories from well-funded right-wing operatives. I mean, you heard Sydney say this tonight. It's like, look, we've got some real issues that we should be dealing with in our school board. I mean, when I thought I was running, I thought I was going to be running for, let's make sure, okay, we hold the line on taxes, make sure we're being kind of responsible in terms of how we're spending the money, because it's coming from the property taxes from, that we're all drawing from people in our community. So we got to think about that. We got to think about making sure the kids have access to our schools, and access, what that means sometimes? Sometimes that means a ramp, right? To make sure a kid with a wheelchair can get into schools. I mean, those are real issues. Making sure that we understand the needs of, say, first-generation college students. Making sure we understand the needs of first-generation immigrants. Right? Making sure that our kids are prepared, as both Jamie and Cindy said, as our kids are prepared for the world as it actually is. Jamie just said, yeah, that was James Ott. I'm sorry. I think I was a little bit very confusing on that one. It's James Ott, not Scott Freeman, but James Ott was the one who was dropping the F-bombs at the school board meetings. But the idea is like, our world is complex. It's varied. Our own history, right, as a country is complex and varied. Excuse me. And we do no service to anybody by trying to literally whitewash our history or the way the world is. The other side of that too, as well, we have to understand, and this is why I'm so glad that we're able to get Jordan Hopkins coming on next week. After we had to postpone this past week, because he'll be on the 18th. Yeah, next week. Well, understand that there is a broad agenda here, right, that we've been laying out, for weeks, months, years on this program, right? Look at Jane Mayer's book, Dark Money, for example, from the New Yorker, right, prize-winning journalist, investigative journalist. So you look at, Jane Mayer's book on dark money, when she was tracking the systems, the kind of the funding systems for these kind of billionaires, these kind of really right-wing, libertarian-oriented billionaires and far-right billionaires that have tons of money just to dump into our politics because they believe that they are the ones who should rule. They believe that they're the ones who should control our politics. And they believe that their interest, right, should override all of ours. What does that mean? That means that they don't have to, all the money that they extract from all of us, from working our workaday lives, right? They get to keep, and they want more and more and more of it from us. And then they get to tell us what to do on top of it all. They get to tell us who belongs and who does not. They get us to tell us who's in and who's out. They get us to tell us who is seen and who remains invisible. And that is not education. That is brute force politics that's using culture as a weapon. And it's the fact that it's happening in our school boards. And I'll say this again, you know, I this is one of the things that I've learned over the years is that, you know, the right wing has been very good about understanding the way media works, right? Number one of the first things that they do is they fund their media, right? And they don't just kind of say like, okay, let me think about who is the right person to give money to. They spread it around, right? These folks will drop like hundreds of thousands of dollars on like 15 different, you know, podcasts or whatever you want to mean, right? They'll drop it on all these new up and comers, right? Because they know, like, look, they know that probably, you know, 75% of where that money went, maybe even 50 to 75% of that money went, it's probably not going to pan out, right? But they don't care. They want to saturate their airways. And then when they find those ones that stick, that got it, then they move all the money over there. And then they do it again and again and again. When AM radio was dying, it was the right wing, particularly conservative Christians, who went in and bought up those radio stations. And that eventually became the infrastructure for Rush Limbaugh and all these right-wing radio folks. And they were willing to invest time, money, and personnel in building that infrastructure. We've really, really have got to understand that. We have got to understand that the stakes are extraordinarily high. You know, at some level, the one thing that I think is useful about what we're seeing right now at the school board level is we're seeing the same stakes locally that are taking place nationally. And it, you know, at some level, it makes it extraordinarily difficult and stressful on a daily basis, right? To see that, you know, our kids, our communities are being used in this battle for, you know, some sort of mythical right-wing white supremacist, you know, idea of what America is. That's the same thing that's happened on the national level. And, you know, again, I've said it 1,000 times and I'll say it again. It's like, you know, that's the one positive that has come out of, you know, the Trump presidency, right? Is that from day one, the Women's March, right? Indivisible. The DSA, Black Lives Matter. Right, we have seen movements of young people that, thank God for them, I'm telling you. Thank God for them. And I do think that they get it, right? We talked about what happened in the York County, you know, the North York High School, where those kids stood up and said, no, you're not gonna ban books in our school district. You're not gonna erase diverse perspectives from our curriculum. They stood up, they fought back, they protested, they engaged in nonviolent civil disobedience, the hallmark of change in this country, and they won the day. They brought something that was a local issue to a national issue to an international issue. And the York School Board caved. That's why Cyril last week, his column that we talked about on the show last week, on the Wednesday show, saying, look, this is a, what happened in York? This is a call to Bucks County students. It is time to rise up to save education. As like parents and community members in here, it's a call for us too. And first and foremost, that has got to be get out to vote on November 2nd. I know. School board elections or local elections can seem extraordinarily dull. It's a weird thing about our politics in this country. Like the politics that affects us most directly, as the most immediate impact on our lives, is the one we know the least about and are involved in the least. You know, generally speaking. That's the dynamic we need to shift. Right. And I see it happening, you know, seeing the Penrith School District, I've seen these parents organizing. I'm like, you know, it's been a rare time in my life, which, you know, that I felt like I'm like, whoa, everyone else is way out ahead of me on organizing. I'm like, this is awesome. Look at the community, right? So, yeah. So, everybody, listen, thank you for tuning in tonight. And look, I'd encourage you, make sure you share out this show, right? Especially if you know folks in the Palisades School District, right? You want to make sure you want to introduce them to Jamie Davis and Cindy Shane. Please go out and, you know, share the show with them. But most important, you know, look, have them get in touch with, you know, davisforpalisades@gmail.com, Shane for Palisades at gmail.com, right? And say, hey, look, you know, I've never done this before. I haven't, like, you know, campaigned for somebody before, but how can I help? Right. You know, one of the best experiences I had of the past several years when it comes to, say, local politics is I was actually the last round of school board elections. I worked the polls on the day of the polls. Right. And I had never done that for a school board election. I've done it in national election, but never did a school board election. And just being out there and saying, like, hey, you know, I'm talking to other people in my community about something that's directly affecting them, right? And I got to, you know, advocate and tell you why I'm out here, right? Why I care as a parent, why I think you should vote for these people, right? And yes, look, sometimes it can feel a little awkward. It can. You know, I'm a teacher, right? I teach higher ed, right? I talk for a living, like here I'm doing this show and stuff like this. I'm not, like, afraid to communicate. Right. But even then, I recognize a different context. It can feel a little uncomfortable. But you know what? That little bit of discomfort, you know, is a small price to pay for our kids' future, our future, our communities. So do what you can. Right. Everybody can't do the same thing. Everybody is not going to be the one that's going to be out there shouting the best, but you can help. And that might just be say, hey, I'm going to share this information with my friends. Right. I'm going to share this information with my friends. I'm going to take, you know, the information. I'm going to put this in the chat right now. Right. You can choose, like, you know, a few people, right, that you know. Right. Send them that link. You know, if they're not registered, if they don't have a mail-in ballot or they don't know where they're going to vote or anything like this, send them to that link. There's the information. How to get, you know, PA, www.vote.pa.gov. Right. www.vote.pa.gov. Information about how to do that, right? And you think about it, if somebody has never voted a local election before, right, that might be a step for them, right? And if you get that one more vote out there, that matters, right? And it matters if you get 5 more votes out there and 10. And if everybody's doing that, we can win this. We can win this in Palisades. We can win this in Penridge. We can win this in North Penn. We can win this in Central Bucks and push back against this assault on public education and this kind of, you know, multi-ethnic democracy that is still yet a promise in this country. So anyways, thank you all for tuning in tonight. I really appreciate it. Thank you all for the lively chat. I really, really appreciate it, everybody. And look, just thank you for being there. Thank you for being there. And for all those folks who have spent the time, you know, sharing out our show, I can't tell you how, like, it just, like, it's, I can't thank you enough. I mean, it's something when I get up in the morning and I see like 5-6 tweet notifications and like Facebook notifications that somebody else has gone out and shared the show. That means so much for me. And thanks to all of you who've kind of like stepped up and become a patron of the show, right? Have gone to patreon.com/rcpress. You can become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, right? That $5 a month allows us to do this. Allows us to expand our shows. Like, that's why we were able to kind of like start a new show with Cyril Michaleko, right? The columnist of the Bucks County Courier Times and Intelligencer, right? It's why we continue our Friday news roundup. It's why hopefully we're going to see an expanded, our website, RagingChickenPress.org. We're going to see some writing come back to those pages because we've got some more people, thanks to people like you, who've got the word out. And thanks for those folks who stepped up to become a patron over at patreon.com/rcpress. Thank you all for tonight. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken. I'm going to say goodnight. So, see ya!